is planted, bring forth precious sheaves alone, so that all I hear may be fruitful unto life in me. Now my faith increase and quicken, let me keep thy gift divine. Howsoever temptation thicken, may thy word still o'er me shine, as my guiding star through life, and my comfort in all strife. Speak, O God, and I will hear thee, let thy will be done indeed. May I undisturbed draw near thee, while thou dost thy people feed. Here abide the fountain flows, here embalm for all our woes.
Beloved in the
first, good morning.
We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto thee. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead, by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Is there a room in your heart?
let us pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, you give your children many blessings, even though we are undeserving. In every trial and temptation, grant us steadfast confidence in your loving kindness and mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 56, beginning with verse 1. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Fear the Lord, you his saints. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Lesson for this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 11. I ask, then, has God rejected his people? By no means, for I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Now I am speaking to you Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means a reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gift and the calling of God are irrevocable, just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience. So they too have now been disobedient, in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God. Please rise. Of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us join in confessing our most holy faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel lesson I'm going to be focusing on this morning, I think it's such an important account that takes place here that Matthew writes for us. And it's very instructive. I mean, let's, you know, for a moment at least, take our minds off of the miracle that is done because of this Gentile woman's faith. Or at least that's how it sounds almost. But that's not really the point of this encounter that takes place. Many times, probably most of the time, that Jesus is with his disciples, he is constantly teaching them. And what we have recorded for him are some of those times. Why? Because all of Scripture has been written for our learning, for teaching, and correction. We need to learn so much from this passage today, but you know, as I have meditated on this, I'm more and more convinced we reenact this every Sunday. We reenact this particular story, and as I go through this message this morning, I hope you'll see that too. And it kind of begins with this whole part. But let's back up just a little bit for the context of this. We remember last week we heard about Jesus walking on the water and Peter wanting to come out and walk with him if he really was indeed who he said he was, basically. If you are the Lord, you know, command me to walk on the water. Right? Well, when they got to shore, there's an encounter that takes place between Jesus and the teachers, the Pharisees, who question his disciples who have been eating with unwashed hands. Now, traditionally, they shouldn't be doing that. That was considered unclean. What they were doing was unclean. But Jesus points to them and tells them really that the traditions aren't what it's about. That uncleanness doesn't come from what one puts in their mouth. Whether their hands are clean or not, that doesn't make one unclean. What makes an individual unclean is what comes out of the heart and proceeds out of the mouth. And then we get to this event that takes place because Jesus takes his disciples and they go to this place that we hear about in the region of Tyre and Sidon. And what you see here is some of the perhaps in the language that Jesus speaks is the expectation really of the people. He almost sounds to us like he's not being very Christ-like, is he? I mean, his words sound harsh, don't they? What's he saying? This woman comes to him and says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he ignores her. That doesn't sound like our Lord, does it? He's ignoring someone who's calling to him for help. He's walked over to others who've called for help. He walked over to a blind man once. Well, that would make sense. The blind man, that would be a helpful thing. We can understand that. But here's a woman who's calling out. You know, also some I forgot one event that took place when Jesus, before Jesus and his disciples moved to this region, that people were coming out to have him heal their sick, and even to touch the garment of Jesus so that perhaps they would be healed from just touching his garment. And then it moves into this. So we've already got healing going on, so why is Jesus ignoring this woman? But she persists, and we hear the disciples and their language too, but she persists and begging him, saying, or the disciples begin asking Jesus to send her away, for she is crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That doesn't sound like Jesus. Hasn't he healed some other Gentiles? This doesn't sound right. But you know, that's what the people expected of the Messiah. He was coming for them. He was coming for them. And he would set up his kingdom with them, Israel, the house of the Lord. He would set it up there and free them from Gentile nations. But they're saying, send her away, Lord. She keeps chasing after us and making a commotion. Send her away. And Jesus basically speaks to them what the thought is of their day concerning the Messiah, concerning Jesus. You know, but we hear she came and knelt before him saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Boy, this woke generation would have had a field day with Jesus, I'll tell you that. He called her a dog. Now, their ideas of dogs weren't the same as our ideas as creatures who are pets that we love just as much as any member of the family. Dogs were considered unclean. It's not right to take the bread that's for the master's children and feed it to the dogs. But this isn't any ordinary woman. I mean, yes, she's a Gentile. That makes her different. But she has something that the disciples at this point don't seem to have or grasp. Let's go back to the feeding of the 5,000 2 weeks ago, as far as our readings go. What do the disciples want to do when it gets close to evening? Send them away, Lord, so they can get something to eat. We have no way to provide for them. So what's Jesus say? Well, what food have we got? And they say, well, we've got a few fish and a couple loaves of bread. And the Lord pretty much says, that's all you need. And he does this wonderful miracle that's a sign really to the people of the day they have been waiting for, the coming of the Messiah, the beginning of the Messianic rule. The rule of Christ. For he takes this little amount of food and feeds everyone, 5,000 men plus women and children. So we don't really even know what the number of people that were there, but they fed them and everyone was satisfied. Nobody was left hungry. In fact, they even took baskets and collected 12 baskets full of what was left over. You might say the crumbs. Even the crumbs are plentiful. The disciples aren't understanding this, even though they behold it with their own eyes and are aware. The crowds, being so large, probably didn't know the miracle that was actually taking place. But the disciples did, because they were the ones who served it. They were the ones who brought the meager amount of food to Jesus, who multiplied it out of his mercy and grace. So we come to this woman, who when she addresses Jesus, see, we don't catch it in the English, but she addresses Jesus as God when she says, "O Lord." This isn't Lord as in someone who is a teacher or a master. This is God's Lord that is recorded. See, when we read in English, Lord, it could mean the master of the house. It could mean a king. It could mean God. Now, in the Septuagint, it uses this form for God, this form this woman speaks. And I don't want to get into real heavy stuff or anything like that. I'm just trying to make a point. She's saying to Jesus, Son of God, not Son of David alone, but Son of God, Son of David, is basically what she's saying. O Lord, God, Son of David. That's what she's saying. She's a believer already. There were Gentiles around that believed in God. They were the ones that Isaiah spoke of in the Old Testament, that reading we heard today. He spoke of them. Because God is for all the nations, not just for Israel. Not just to deliver them from the Gentiles, but to open the doors for the Gentiles to come in, to be part of God's family. And we hear Paul speaking about the fact that these are the Lord's elect. To them are the forefathers who the covenant was given to. They are the ones, the children of promise. But they became disobedient so that you could receive the mercy of God. And now Paul says that they've been made disobedient and you're disobedient. There is no difference. Paul already said there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles. All need the covenant, the new one, that is made through the blood of Christ. No one has a different covenant. The Jews no longer have the old covenant. It's been replaced by the new covenant, which is for all people. And St. Paul, of course, says, I hope to make many of them jealous so that they start listening. They want to know what it is, this word that has come to the Gentiles, and why it is that they believe in this Jesus, a Jewish rabbi. So this woman is a believer. See, when God set them up, they were always to be a witness to the world. When I say set them up, make them a nation. God sets them apart. He gives them special rules that they are to follow. They are rules like no other nation has had. And they are to be strict in their following of it. They are to follow God's commandments. And they will be his people. But more than that, they will be a witness to the nations. And nations will be drawn in because they will see the goodness of God and the mercy of God. That was always the plan, to draw all nations to God. Not to be just the Messiah for one people, but all nations. The woman says to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. "Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. I don't know if you're probably not seeing what I have seen in this passage concerning we reenact this every Sunday ourselves. Because you see, we're like this woman, and we are in need, and we are distraught, but we know where to turn. We're not like those who don't know where to go, because they don't know Jesus, but we do. We know who He is. He is the Son of God and Son of Man. And He is for all of us. Not just one nation. Not just for one denomination, Lutherans, but for all Christians of all Christian denominations. Now, there is actually a church out there, I think it's called BAI, B-A-I, or something like that. They're an interesting kind of weird church because their church worships all the gods of the world, basically. The Hindus, Allah, and whatever god there is, you can come and worship together there because that's their image. But the problem with that, of course, is that those gods are not God. The other problem is that's idolatry, pure and simple. Because God says, you will have no other God besides me. In fact, He says, there are no other gods beside me. I know not one. So, there are a lot of false understandings of God. And many of them are made because some people, it makes them feel good. Or gives them some kind of hope. But there's no certainty in what it is that they believe. But you and I have a God who loves us and has revealed us in His Son, Christ Jesus. We know because of those who followed Jesus in that day. Those who saw Jesus arrested, punished, scourged, mocked, and hung on a cross. And there He gave His life for us. He gave it. It wasn't taken away from Him. Jesus didn't even hang on the cross very long at all. But He died for us. And more importantly, 3 days later, He was raised to life. And He showed Himself, and many people saw Him. And then they went out into the world. Those 12 men and other followers of Jesus, men and women, and declared Jesus, the true Son of God, who died and was made alive so that we can live with God. And that, they would declare, is a free gift from God's grace and mercy. See, we don't believe in an imagined God. We believe in the true God who came into this world as a man and died for us. So we come here like this Canaanite woman with faith. And it might not seem to you that it's great, but it is. Because you know why? Because you come turning your sights on the one who can help you. God's answer to you is, yes, I will help you. God said in many places in Scripture that He is the bread of life. Jesus is that bread Himself that He speaks of to this woman. Is it right to take the bread of the Master's children and feed it to the dogs? The answer is, thankfully, yes. But it's the Master who feeds us of Himself. And as small a thing as this wafer is on the altar, this meager piece of bread that is tasteless as can be, and sometimes might even stick to the roof of your mouth, if you got dry mouth, there we find Christ, His body, in with and under the bread. The true body of Christ. We receive a great miracle that is greater than the feeding of the 5,000 plus. And not long from this event that takes place here, Jesus will feed miraculously another group of 4,000. He comes and He gives us His body. Not just in this church, but in every church throughout the world that celebrates this holy sacrament as Christ instituted it. Not because we believe it, but because Christ says it is so. But yet we do believe it because it is Christ who says it, because He is the Son of God, the Son of David. He gives us more than crumbs. As meager as this Holy Supper is, it appears anyway, it definitely couldn't fill anyone up. No one could possibly have too much wine. But we receive all of God. We receive Him given and shed for you, given for you and for me. And that's why I said we reenact this. We are like this woman coming to the Lord, coming with our needs. This woman came because her daughter was beset by a demon that was doing who knows what. But we are not unfamiliar with how Satan works and his demons work, even around us on a daily basis, really. We just don't always see it. Sometimes we might, but mostly we don't. But there's activity going on around us. We have a spiritual warfare going on all the time. Because Satan would like to destroy your faith. He would like to pull you away and doubt your forgiveness. Satan would like to do that. But we come here with our needs, even though we are too beset by Satan and demons. Sometimes physically, sometimes perhaps someone may be possessed. Sometimes it's just an everyday thing to us, because it seems it's the way of life. And sometimes it is just the way of life in this fallen world. But there is a spiritual warfare going on, and it is why Christ comes to us in His body and blood to strengthen us. He gives us of Himself so that we are fortified, so that we are lifted up by His mercy and by His Spirit. We reenact this event. And Christ would say to us, O woman, O man, O child, great is your faith. Because you have humbled yourself, because you understand what salvation is about and who it's for. You have great faith. You come to God not with hands filled with pride. You come to Him not with hands filled with good works. You come to Him as one who is beaten down humbly before the Lord with open hands to receive from Him His bounty. We reenact this moment in time when we come in and we begin our service with confession and absolution. We reenact this when we receive the bread of life in the sacrament. This is God's gift for us. It is the gospel, both in word and in material bread and wine. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
For harmony in the lives of our congregation, district, and synod, and for charitable hearts that put the best construction on what we see and hear, let us pray to the Lord.
Amen.
For those outside the kingdom, for missionaries near and far, for the ministries and agencies of our church, whereby the gospel is spoken to those who have not heard, and for those who hear, that they may be brought to faith, let us pray to the Lord. For all pastors and church workers, for those preparing for full-time church work, and for those considering church work vocations, let us pray to the Lord. For all families, for husbands and wives to live in faithfulness to each other, for all mothers with child, for all children, and for those who bring them to baptism and nurture them in the faith, let us pray to the Lord. For our President, the Congress, our Governor, all elected and appointed leaders, all judges and magistrates, the members of the armed forces, and our police, firefighters, and emergency medical personnel in their duties to protect and serve us, let us pray to the Lord. For the healing of the sick, the relief of the suffering, the comfort of the grieving, and the peace of the dying, especially for Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Robert Galvias, Jan Johnson, Bo Wolf, Bob and Jenny Turner, Jeff McIntyre, Pastor Mark Seeger, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Havlin, Sue Daniels, and Pat Bias. And for those who care for them and their afflictions, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy assembly and for our communion upon the Lord's body and blood, and for us to bear in our lives the fruits of the Spirit and do the good works for which we were created, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all honest work and occupations, for our good use of the fruits of our labors, for generosity for those in need, and for the tithes and offerings that accompany our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our remembrance of the saints and in thanksgiving for their faithful witness, that we at last we may be joined with them in your eternal presence, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, giver of all that is good, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your grace that we may endure the changes and chances of this mortal life and be found worthy when our Savior comes to bring to completion all things. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We're going to sing hymn 670. Becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with love and give you peace.